Well, it's the 22nd of February, and we are so glad you all could join us today for our career article on expanding your horizons. And I have two fine gentlemen with me in the studio today.
Hi, Linda. Hi, everybody. My name is Steve. Glad to be here today.
Hi, Linda. Thank you for having me. I'm so thankful for that compliment, too.
Oh, I know. And I'm Linda, and we're all happy that you could join us today. As we're going to talk about kind of one of the trends that is happening specifically in the United States. I think this is quite a cultural article about trends within these states.
I think a little bit. We'll find that there's a lot of American-centric vocabulary and language here, but I think it applies to many people from different countries, particularly those from Europe and maybe South Africa, Australia.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is really based on experiences of several Americans, what they did and what they had, but I think you're right, it can be expanded a bit. So I think Steve is right. There's a lot of language in here that's very American, so
yes,
to speak. And if we start with, take a look at the title, we see it says expanding your horizons. So what do you think when you, that's kind of a phrase we use in English, isn't it? You need to expand your horizons.
Yeah, well, I think it's talking about perspective, your experiences, and it's telling you to just, you have your boundaries, your horizons, and it's asking you to make them bigger, try new things, see new things.
Well, Peter, you certainly expanded your horizons after college.
That's right, and this is a very popular thing to talk about in school, and I think most people are considering studying abroad and those types of things for these exact reasons of what we're talking about today. And I have expanded my horizons, and I've lived in the Philippines and in Central America and now in Taiwan. So it has added a lot to my life. I'm so thankful I did it. It's a big challenge, and maybe some of our listeners today will be interested in expanding their horizons.
Right.
Yeah, when I think of expanding your horizons, I think of the phrase worldview. You want to expand your worldview and not live life, we would say, with tunnel vision. All you see is what's around you. You're not aware of things and cultures in different parts of the world. And so having some time in a different country is a great way to expand your horizons, broaden your worldview. I know that a lot of people, young people in Europe, they take what's called a gap year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll take a year off of university and travel around the world, maybe work a little bit to support themselves. But that's also a wonderful way to travel and expand your horizons.
That's right. And, you know, I think a lot, maybe some of our listeners aren't able to really expand their horizons in that way, but that's a good reason to listen to Advance Magazine, because we cover so many topics across so many cultures, and it's a way to learn and to get a different worldview than what we're used to on our day-to-day, you know, just living.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I think of some people, some friends of mine, who live in New York City, and they never leave the city.
Really?
Yeah, they think New York City is the center of the world. It has everything they need. Everything comes to them. They've got entertainment and so forth. And to me, that's really, it's sad in a way, because there's so much happening outside of that small area of the world. Their horizons are not expanding at all.
Oh, that is so interesting, because often we think of, you know, New York City is kind of, you know, the ultimate for world experiences.
And the people who live there feel the same way. So they're like, why should we go anywhere?
Yeah.
That's their attitude.
But there is a big world out there. And we're going to see what encourages some people to take the step, like Peter said. And all of us obviously have done some of this, because we're all here in Taipei. And we've lived here for different periods of time or lengths of time. So before we go any further, why don't we just read this first section? We're on page 38 of your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, or you can find it on your mobile device. And we're going to be reading this first section on expanding your horizons.
Expanding your horizons. How an overseas adventure could be a career kickstarter. For most young people, the job market feels more like a black hole than a door to limitless possibilities. It can be hard to find a job that pays the bills, let alone a job you like. So, some recent graduates are choosing to start their careers abroad. While some spend years building their credentials in a foreign country, others go for only a short time. Upon their return, many young people find their international experience provides the competitive edge needed to survive stateside.
Okay, so we see that we're going to be talking about an overseas adventure could be a career kickstarter. And actually, this word kickstarter, Peter, what does it mean to you?
Well, it means it gives you a jump, a head start in, and this is talking about your career. So it's going to make your destination, your goals, it's going to get you to them faster. And so doing this type of experience will get you where you want to go faster.
Okay. And I think probably Advanced has done some articles on Kickstarter online where they want to do the very same thing with like companies that are trying to get started. They have Kickstarter campaigns to raise money so that they can get a product out that they think will be helpful.
Yeah. A Kickstarter is something that's on a motorcycle, right?
And it, oh, yeah.
And that's where this term comes from. So if you want to start something like your motorcycle, you use the Kickstarter. And so some things to help your career start are called Kickstarters, and this is one thing that would do that. Yeah.
Right, and we see that perhaps, you know, when you're graduating from university, that oftentimes we say, oh, you have the whole world before you. But I think this first sentence in our article is kind of interesting. It doesn't look like the whole world. It looks like a black hole.
Yeah, a lot of people are told, young people are told, the world is your oyster, mm-hmm. They say. It's yours for the grabbing. And a lot of young people don't feel that way. They feel like the world is more like a black hole, which is a place where things disappear and get lost, and there's a lot of chaos. And so it can be very daunting for young people after they graduate. They don't know really exactly what they want to do for their career. They don't want to get tied down and be in one job for 30 or 40 years like their parents and grandparents. So it's a different world.
I sometimes think there's a lot of pressure on young adults to decide, what do you want to be when you grow up, or what do you want to do in 20 or 30 years? And a lot of now, it's not as common as it used to be, but I was reading this article a couple of years ago that the average person changes their job every 3 to 5 years. And, you know, now the thought is I don't have to stay there for 20 years.
Yeah, that was unheard of, right? 30,
right.
40 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, it was. You stayed. Where you went is where you stayed.
Well, and it's, you know, it's a big question for a young person that's never been in the work world. I mean, it's hard to answer, what are you going to do for the next 30 years of your life when you haven't even lived for 30 years? And so this goes back to expanding your horizons. Mm-hmm. And so for a young person, before they really get into what they want to do, because to be honest, they probably don't know what they want to do yet. And this kind of experience helps them see, oh, the job market isn't this black hole. It's not just I study X to be Y. You know, I don't have to be this one job after college. And, you know, I think when I was in college, everyone was talking about, what are you studying? Oh, that means you will do this job. And it's not like that once you leave college.
Right. It certainly isn't.
No.
There are a lot of, well, it says here that they feel that it's more a black hole than a door to limitless possibilities. And one of the reasons is it's hard to find a job sometimes, you know, and people have bills to pay. And I like this phrase, let alone a job you like, is kind of what Peter was saying. Let alone here just means much less than find a job that you like.
It's interesting because there probably are jobs that young people can get out of college that they like, but they're not going to pay anything or
right.
very little.
Right.
Or so if they get a job that pays something that's livable, they're not going to like it. So the best of both worlds is to have a job you like that pays well, but those are very, very rare.
Yeah, they are very hard to find.
Well, and I think they happen over time, too. You got to earn that job that you like and that you get paid well for. You don't just get it straight out of college.
But that's not the mentality. You're right, Peter, but that's not the mentality of a lot of graduates. They have this entitlement thinking, right?
Like, right.
This is mine, and I can have this right now.
Yeah, it sometimes makes me wonder what we need to do to change our mindsets when it concerning finding a job or your career or what you want to do. But here, I think it says that it's a good choice some recent graduates are making. They're choosing to start their careers abroad. And most of them are for the reason they can't find a job they like, or the job they find, as Steve said, doesn't pay enough for them to be able to live. And some do spend years building their credentials in a foreign country, okay? And if you have a credential, okay, you want to show your credentials, it just means your abilities or your experiences that make you suitable for a particular job. And you should be able to prove them. So that's why we have curriculum vitas or your resumes, and then you have usually most employers require that you have some kind of reference to prove that you have those kind of credentials. But some do this for a long time, and some do it for a short time. Did you think you were going to be abroad this long when you left the States?
Yes. It hasn't been too long now.
It's been a few years.
It's been a few years, and I think it's a growing experience when you start. And it's, the first 6 months is kind of a stage, and the first year, then the second year. And I think you go into it going, well, this might be for short term. And then, your circumstances change or you yourself change over time. And so that's, one day it's much longer than that. I'm looking at two people right now that's been here a lot longer.
Steve, yeah. How long have you been abroad?
Well, my experience was going to Sichuan Province to teach English for one summer. And that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't planning to be here this long. The years just kind of snowballed, gotten bigger and bigger and longer, and here I am 20 years later. I don't regret it. It's been a great adventure. It wasn't my plan, but you have to be flexible a little bit in your life and in your career options and what life presents to you. You may make plans, but sometimes your plans don't work out the way you want.
Right. And, okay, I've been here 31 years now, my husband and I, and our kids grew up in Taipei. And we did plan to come for long term. We didn't necessarily know it would be quite this long, but it is, and it's been a wonderful experience. And it certainly has changed our perspective on a lot of things, and I think made us more world-wise than what we would be if we were still living, in the Midwest in the United States. I remember when my daughter went home and her only form of ID was her passport. And I don't know what she was doing. She had to cash a check or buy something somewhere in the Midwest, and she showed her passport for an ID, and the person behind the counter was like, "Do you have a better form of ID than that? A more legal form?" She was like, "It is the most legal form you can have." So just those kind of things, we need to be aware of.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if we can talk about this now or later, but it's funny when people live overseas to broaden their horizons. Often they return to the States or their home country, and it's hard to relate to people because they haven't had the same experiences you have, and their worldview is not as broad, and it's really hard to connect with some people.
That's why we have this. This is a term, it's not in this article, but we have this term third culture kids, especially if you're a kid or a child that's been brought up and lived abroad, grown up abroad. You have a hard time finding out what your culture is because you lived between two cultures, and a lot of their friends have lived there also, so they're called third culture kids. And they sometimes have their own set of adaptation problems and processes.
Yeah, yeah. And there's such a thing as culture shock, we know that, but there's also like reverse culture shock upon reentry
right.
into your home country. So these are all interesting things that kind of relate to today's topic.
Well, we see that a lot of young people, they say that when they go back to the States, they find that they have a competitive edge needed to survive stateside. And this is a phrase that a lot of people use when they're referring to the United States.
Yeah, well, and Steve mentioned coming back to the States, and now you're looking for your job, and we have those people that went abroad come back with credentials that show they've had challenges and overcome those challenges. And when you get into an interview and show your resume, you can talk about those.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stayed in the Midwest and you just worked at, who knows what restaurant, then you're giving me a face there. Well, you stand out in your interview, and that's that competitive edge that the article is talking about and needed to survive on the stateside. Well, that's specifically to the United States. We don't call the United States America because there's North America, it's Canada, and the United States. So we always like to specifically call United States the States, and so that helps us.
Right. And actually, this is very true. I just was thinking about my son changed jobs about maybe 8 months ago, and he had a competitive edge. He had experience in his field in the States, but also they were very interested in him because he grew up in Asia, and they have an international office. One of their offices is in Hong Kong, and so they had already been talking to him in his interview about maybe possibly helping them in their Hong Kong office or coming back to Asia short term to do some projects for them. So those kind of things mean a lot when you're working for an international company. Let's look at one person's experience here. This is a short-term experience, and we're going to be reading about Peter Richards and what happened to him.
Short-term experience. Peter Richards graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Photography. With dreams of working in the adventure field, he applied for several internships at National Geographic. After none of those worked out, Richards changed his tactic. He moved to Tanzania. Working in an orphanage at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro, Richards used his free time to photograph the landscape, animals, and children. Soon after, he also began working with the Kilimanjaro and Safari Expedition Company and was invited to document a trip. In Tanzania, I found opportunities that weren't available in the States, Richards says. In the U.S., employers look for your resume. Over there, it was more of a conversation about how we could help each other rather than how I looked on paper. After almost 6 months, Richards returned to the U.S. with additional experience and new language skills. Just 3 months later, he was hired to lead summer trips to Tanzania for National Geographic student expeditions. Today, Richards continues to build his photography business and lead trips, while also working as a medical logistics coordinator for Remote Medical International. Richards' experience helped him stand out to potential employers.
So we see that Peter Richards graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Photography, and he had dreams.
Well, let's be honest. When you graduate with a degree in photography, that's going to be hard
mm-hmm.
to get a job.
I would think so.
You really have to sell yourself. You have to sell your work, and you have to prove that you can take great pictures. That's not easy.
Right, and he had dreams of working in the adventure field, which also is not easy because Peter has an interesting story.
Well, sure, yeah. I'm kind of like this guy here. Dreams of the adventure field. Well, there's no specific job called adventure person, and you get paid for it. And you really do have to just jump out there and go for it. And I guess Linda's talking about, I have a story. I went out to Guatemala and taught English in a little village. I spoke Spanish, but the town spoke a indigenous language. They also spoke Spanish, but they primarily spoke this other language.
And what is an indigenous language?
Oh, well, that's just the local people's original language. Okay. And so while I was there, I took this great photo, and right after I took it, it was just on the street of some women, and it just captured the moment. And I knew it was a great photo, and so I submitted it to National Geographic. Came back to the States, and months later, I got a call from National Geographic, and I was selected as one of their finalists out of like 100,000 photos by a professional photographer. It was my dream.
Yeah.
But it turned out that I couldn't participate in the contest. But that aside, I have a great photo of a great adventure, and that's because I went out to a new country, new place, all by myself.
And one of the reasons I wanted Peter to tell that story is because out of 100,000 photos, so you see what your competition is in something like this. So for Peter, another Peter here, Peter Richards, he applied for several internships at National Geographic. And an internship is when you work for a company to get experience in that field. And you didn't do that. Yours was just something else. But he couldn't get any of them. So people with these kind of dreams of adventure, you know, there are a lot of them.
Yeah, and you need to be able, like I said before, to be flexible. You need to be able to change your course midstream, we would say in English. So Richards changed his tactic. He changed his plan of how to get into this field, and he moved overseas to Tanzania.
That's quite a move because that's in Africa. So he went from wanting to work at National Geographic to moving to Tanzania and working at an orphanage. And that is at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro. And at the base means at the bottom of this mountain. And this is one of the most famous mountains in the world. So
that must have been beautiful to live there, and probably meaningful work too, to work with children in an orphanage. And then he could also pursue his career, his dream of adventure, and taking photos as well.
Well, we see what he did. He used his free time to do just that. So, you know, I think we need to think outside the box and not just concentrate on one little thing. That's what Peter really showed me. You know, he used his free time to take photography, and then he began working with a Kilimanjaro and Safari Expedition Company. And expedition just means a journey or a trip, and there are a lot of tourists that go there. So he was invited to join and to document this trip, which means take photos of it. And he said he found opportunities that weren't available in the States, which goes back to what Steve was saying about being flexible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was a good thing he did that, because in the U.S., employers took notice of Richard's resume. And through conversations with them, he found that it opened up some doors.
Right. And I think that's what we're saying is very obvious or very common. It commonly happens, as Peter said earlier, you know, when you go in for your interview, then you can start talking about what's happened. And they can see it from your resume. I mean, I look at resumes that come in here, and, you know, you're looking at what their experiences are and what they have to offer and what people have to bring. So what happened about 6 months later? What did he do, Peter?
Well, 6 months later, he came back to the U.S., and it sounds like with additional experience, new language skills, that competitive edge, he got a job working with National Geographic Student Expeditions.
Right. It looked kind of cool, doesn't it? And probably the language spoken in Tanzania, probably French and Swahili, I would think. And so after acquiring these new skills, it just took him 3 months.
Right.
And he was back.
And it's with National Geographic, but it's not what he thought he would do. So he was being flexible, and he said, okay, if I can't get in through this door, maybe I can try a different door. And that's exactly what happened. He got in through this student expeditions program where students get involved with National Geographic and go on trips and so forth.
I've had a lot of my friends' kids do things like this. You know, they start in one thing and they have to be flexible and learn a whole range of skills, and then they can use them somewhere else and as they are getting closer to what they really want to do.
Yeah, I think one of the killers of a career if you're at a new job, is saying, I don't do that, or I can't do that. Bosses don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear you say, I've never done that, but I'm willing to try.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember one of my friend's kids went to Australia, and she was leading students, new overseas students, and she had to go bungee jumping and all kinds of things because that's the kind of trip she was going to be taking these students on.
Wow.
And she'd never done any of this before. She found it pretty challenging but very fun. Well, we see that now Richards continues to build his photography business, and he is also leading trips. And he's also working as a medical logistics coordinator for this company called Remote Medical International. And actually, this company is quite interesting. It's in 117 countries, and they help in developing countries by giving medical services and evacuation, all kinds of things. I was like, what is he doing that, and then how does it fit in? So I looked the company up. It's kind of cool.
That is neat. That's very meaningful.
And so they say that his experiences helped him to stand out to potential employers. If you stand out, what do you do?
Well, you are unique, and you're not like everyone else. It's basically what we've been talking about all day, and that's, you know, he took the first step to expand his horizons, and employers can see that, and that's why he stood out and ended up getting the job he wanted and getting paid for it, too.
That's right. And I also want to point out that look what he's doing. He's building his photography business, he's leading trips, and he's working as this logistics coordinator. And so those are like three very different things that he's doing. So you, as Steve kept saying, you need to be flexible. Well, come back and join us tomorrow as we continue with our second day on expanding your horizons. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, friends.